Pat Stream with Percentiv. Hello, everybody else that's on the call right now. You're all muted. So I muted you as I joined, so I apologize if you happen to be talking to each other. We'll be starting here in about 4 minutes, so we've got people joining. Thank you. Kevin Holmes from Percentiv, I've unmuted you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. So I'm going to keep you unmuted. Everybody else is muted.
All right. I'll be extra careful.
Katie Sanquist from Percentiv, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So you're unmuted. Everybody else on the call is unmuted. So it's you, Kevin, and I, and I'm still waiting for Cheryl to join. So we're all going to remain unmuted. And then towards the end of the call, when people have questions, I will let them join in.
Okay.
Cheryl from Family Innovations, are you there?
I am.
Okay, good. Thank you. I have you unmuted. I'm going to keep you unmuted. So if you're going to be typing on any keyboards or anything like that, just be aware. Unless you want me to mute you, then I can call you back in.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay.
You got a good turnout.
Are you hearing? Can you hear people joining?
I can hear the beeps, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a council on my end, so I'm seeing people join here.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, so about 40 people right now.
Wow, good.
Everybody that's on the call right now, we're waiting just about 60 more seconds as people are joining on fast and furiously here. So if you can hear me, that's good. Just hold tight. We'll be starting soon. Thank you. All right, well, I'm going to get started. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Pat Stream, Director of Customer Success with Percentive. Thank you for joining this call today. It's a very important call, and I just realized as people are joining in here, probably going to continue to hear the beeps as people are joining in. I'm looking for a way to turn that off, and I apologize. I can't figure that out. So we're just going to have to deal with it as people join. I also have on the call with me Kevin Holmes. He's a Director of Customer Service and Support at Percentive, and Katie Sandquist, who's our Master Project Coordinator Integrator. And then I have a special guest, which I'll Cheryl Lierfeld from Family Innovations, who will be talking and helping us here in about 15 minutes. So the ICD-10 changeover is just 16 days away. It's finally going to happen. There are no delays out there. It definitely is going to happen. So over the past year, what Percentive has been trying to do is sending regular updates to all of our customers, trying to communicate our readiness level, as well as giving as many suggestions and support tips as we can on what we think you should do to be ready. So there's a lot of resources out there that we've already put out, but the reason why we're having this call is because we did an ICD-10 code audit last week of all of our customer databases, and what we found was really alarming, actually, is we found that roughly 75% of our customer databases didn't even have at least one ICD-10 code listed for any client. And so if you're on this call, it's a possibility some people on this call today received an email from us. So we sent out specific emails to those customers and said you need to take some action. And so there are also other people on this call that, you know, you may be doing just fine. So the purpose of the call is just to reiterate some steps that you should be taking between now and October 1st. And I realize, too, not to send out a total panic, but there may be a lot of agencies who are really just in the process right now, and that's fine, too. So Kevin Holmes is going to be sharing some things with us. But before I get into that, what I want to let you know is that this call is being recorded, and it will be uploaded, or I may figure out a way to forward it out to you in an email so you can have it on your system. What I would encourage you to do is it's not a screen share, okay? It's not a webinar. We're not going to be showing any screens. But Kevin had suggested that maybe you want to open up Percentive. If you're sitting at your computer, open up Percentive, and at least you'll be able to click around and have some reference points of when Kevin is talking about specific things, even though everything he's going to be talking about is already provided as a resource in our training module. And just to let you know, too, is I will open it up for Q&A at the end of the call. So we're planned a 30-minute phone call today here. And we'll leave it about the last 10 minutes open for specific questions and answers, where I will be able to unmute you and you can ask your question and hear from our experts. So, Kevin, I'm going to let you move on and say what you got to say.
Okay. All right, my main goal today really is to just give folks just three sort of main bullet points or things you can check to determine, am I ready for ICD-10 on October 1st, okay? And going to kind of move through this quickly, and you can always ask follow-up questions later on. But if you're staring at your computer screen right now, one of the first things that I would say is if you can go to your clinical charting package and look at your DA, look at your treatment plan, and anywhere where you have the five axes that are listed where you've been recording ICD-9 and DSM-4, right? That's what you've been doing up until this point. Right at that spot, you should also see a place where you can record DSM-5 and ICD-10. Okay, if you don't have that in your clinical charting package somewhere, that's a problem, and you'd need to contact us to get that fixed. Okay, we went through a major push about a year ago, and really we've been doing it throughout the year, in adding these DSM-5 fields and the ICD-10 fields. There's a special table that we created to record this data for you within your clinical charting package. So again, it's going to depend for you. The thing that I would look for is look for where you were recording the five axes, right, for ICD-9 and DSM-4. Look for that table within your DA or within your treatment plan, wherever it is. And again, what should be right next to it, either to the right of it or below it, depending on what you wanted us to do, but you should be able to see a DSM-5 and an ICD-10 table there where you can be recorded that information. And if you don't see that, that's red flag number one. you would want to send a ticket right away to Percentive saying, hey, I just attended the webinar. Can you please look at my forms package? I don't think I've got the DSM-5 ICD-10 fields in my forms package. Can you please add them? Okay, so that's checkbox number one. Can you even record DSM-5 and ICD-10 in your clinical charting? That's your first checkbox, okay? Beyond that, the next step here, the next sort of checkpoint is within the clinical charting, the client module. So what I want you to do now, again, if you happen to be logged on, go to your client module, and you can open up any client and go to the diagnosis tab. Okay, so this next checkbox is, have you been associating ICD-10 codes in the client module diagnosis tab? Have you been picking the 10 code there and associating it to different clients? Plus, if you use it, there's also the client module admissions tab. Okay, and if you happen to bill ChemDep or if you bill inpatient claims, if you're billing institutional claims, then the admissions tab is another spot that you need to pay attention to. So what Pat mentioned, the reason we're having this call is we did a search of our customer databases and said, show us anyone who at this point hasn't added even one ICD-10 code to the client module diagnosis tab. And the number of databases out there was large enough that caused us concern. Many of you, maybe you've already got plans. Maybe you were planning on starting it this week or something like that. But if you have no knowledge that you've been adding ICD-10 codes to the client module, if you're not aware that this is getting done, then, that's the next thing that you would want to be concerned about. First, clinical charting, can I even track the information and get that in my documentation the way that I need to? Second, then, once I determine what the ICD-10 is package and I've recorded it all there, now I've got to get it into the client module diagnosis tab or the admissions tab. And the reason you need it there is because if it's not there, then when it comes time on October 1st to record your services, you're not going to have a 10 code to pick from for your clients, and you're going to be jammed up completely from a billing standpoint. So that's why getting that ICD-10 into the client module diagnosis tab and admissions tab, why that's going to be crucial. So let's just say you have no idea what I'm talking about. Maybe when you went to the client module diagnosis tab, you don't even see the option to pick 10 codes. Okay, so what do you do? What I'm going to tell you to do to fix this problem or to educate yourself as quickly as possible is down in the training assignments module, there is a training called Special Training ICD-10. Okay, it's a webinar we did back in April. It's going to cover all the basics of what permissions do I need so I can even see ICD-10. It's going to cover another tool we talk about calling the conversion tool that we created to help you convert clients from 9 to 10. It's going to show you screenshots of what do the 10 codes look like in the client module? What's it look like in the time module? Right? It's going to give you the basics of where you're going to be able to find ICD-10 and how to use those tools within Percentive. Okay? So again, training module or training assignments module you would want to assign to yourself the training that's called Special Training ICD-10. And that's going to give you the basics that you need to begin assigning ICD-10 to your clients. Okay? Now, so we talked about clinical charting, talked about client module. The very last little checkbox here or the way you can sort of give yourself a grade is, have you or any of your clinical staff in particular received additional training on how DSM-5 and ICD-10 work? If you haven't received anything, if you're just sort of been, I'm not sure how to even describe this, but if you're unaware of some of the complexities that exist with DSM-5 and ICD-10, then I would strongly suggest, and Pat would and Katie would, we would, that you get some additional training. Now the good news here is the solution for this is already on your login screen. Okay, we've put together a training package. It was a training that we offered. I'm not even sure when it was offered. Maybe it was December or something like that, where we brought in an expert to talk about DSM-5 and ICD-10. On the login screen itself, on the left-hand portion of the login screen, you're going to see a section that would bring you to that training. And you could go through that and really learn about some of these additional complexities that I'm talking about that you're going to need to know. Just so you understand too, what's the big problem going to be with ICD-10? You know, if there are issues with it, what do we believe and what do the experts believe the main problem will be? It's really not in the actual sending of the electronic claim. Okay, the sending of ICD-10 on the electronic claim itself, very simple, not much different than the ICD-9, really. And we've passed, Percentive has passed all those tests. We've sent test claims to the different payers, and we are ready from that standpoint. Okay, so that most likely is not really going to be the issue on October 1st or 2nd or 3rd, right? We really believe that's going to go smoothly. And just to assure you too, right, if there are bumps in the road, we're ready to deal with that, fix problems right away for you so you can, you know, be on track. The main issue, though, that is going to come from this is really more about documentation. Can you prove and show that you selected the right ICD-10 for the services that you're providing? And that's what this training can help you, at least get you on the road to understanding that process if you haven't already received training to help you get that. So clinical charting package, okay, that's step number one. Can you even record DSM-5 and ICD-10 somewhere in your clinical charting package? Step two, do you have even the ability, the right permissions to go into the client module and start assigning ICD-10 codes in the diagnosis tab and the admissions tab? And then last, training. Have you received additional training about DSM-5 and ICD-10 so that you can understand some of the complexities? Those are the three biggies. So if you've done those things, way to go. Good job. If you haven't, then hopefully I've given you at least a plan here how you can get started, and you can always ask some more detailed questions later on. If you have them. So, Pat, that's what I've got. Is there anything else I should fill in there? I went pretty quickly, but we don't have a whole lot of time, so that's why I was moving fast.
No, you're right on the mark. Thank you very much. You'll be around for questions later towards the end of the call. So what I'm going to do now is actually I have a guest on the call from one of our customers from Family Innovations, Cheryl Litterfeld. She's the outpatient clinical director for Family Innovations, and we've been working with them. They've been reaching out to us proactively the last year trying to figure out how they're going to prepare their agency. And so she's really done some good work, and I just want to commend her for that. And I thought, hey, let's have her on the call. I asked her to share insights into the processes that they followed. They're a large agency, multi-location, processes, procedures, some of the key findings. And here's the thing, like Kevin said, is, you know, what Percentive has done from a technical standpoint to allow you to send an ICD-10 code, that's our expertise. We've got the technology, we created the coding, and we did it. The real big challenge here, though, is something we can't help you with, which is the clinical expertise. And so, Cheryl, why don't I just let you go with that, and you can share some things.
Okay. So what we did was we went to the training that Percentive had, Kathy Leggett and I, and it was a lot of information, but it's really good information if you haven't gone through that. So we went through that and started taking the steps that she recommended. We went into Percentive and ran a report for our top 15 billable diagnoses. Then we laid out the books that we're not used to using in mental health, but first of all, our DSM, and took those codes, read the DSM code. Then we went to what they call the Green Book, which is the ICD-10 classification of mental and behavioral disorders, and that has the descriptions of our billable codes for ICD-10, and we looked at that definition, and if that matched the DSM, then we went into the Blue Book, which is where all the billable codes you see in Percentive come from, and if they matched across the board, we made a crosswalk so people would know how to bill. There were several that didn't line up well, either the description in our DSM doesn't go with the description of ICD. One of the bigger examples of that is attention deficit hyperactive impulsive type. According to the description for the ICD-10 code, your client has to meet conduct disorder criteria to bill that. But if you're not looking at that green book to read the description, you wouldn't know that. So then you'd just bill it in the Blue Book code, what's in our DSM, what Percentive has in, and you're billing something that likely doesn't apply to your client. So there were things like that. Some of them are just little. There's some in the adjustment disorders also. There's some like adjustment with anxiety. If you read the description in the Green Book, it says they're meeting criteria equally for anxiety and depression. But according to the billable code, it's just adjustment with anxiety disorder. So then we just mapped that out in a crosswalk for our staff and flagged some of those things that they, as the clinician, have to go in and decide how they're going to accurately bill that, if they're going to use the other specified code and defend it that way. So we just gave them their steps on how to document that. And then we did training with them, and they've watched the percentive webinar, which I would also recommend. And then if they have codes outside of those 15 that Kathy and I went through, then we asked them to go through that same process where they're comparing the three books and presenting a case to us, because we've said to them we want to be able to back their billing. And so we're all on the same page. We don't all need to recreate that wheel. So then we add it to our crosswalk to just make it simpler. We've got a lot of staff that are diagnosing. So that's kind of our process, I guess, in a nutshell. Is that kind of what you're looking for, Pat? Okay.
That's really good. Yeah, you spoke directly to some of the some of the clinical aspects that if a customer contacts the help desk, Percentive's not going to be able to address that kind of stuff.
Right.
So you just talked about, but you know, along those same lines, and I'm hoping, Cheryl, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Is so with this call, I want to let everybody know on this call that you're going to be getting either an email, a direct email, or you'll see it on our login page, is that we're launching a customer community, an online forum software, and we're going to use the ICD-10, the theme, where everybody's going to be able to get on there and talk with each other. And I know, Cheryl, you're already part of that group. It's been kind of dormant for a while, but we're resurrecting it. And I'm hoping that the kind of things that you talked about, you'll be able to connect with other customers and back and forth. So it's a help desk for our customers to talk to each other. You'll be hearing more about that and getting the email. In fact, today, some of my team is going to be sending that out to everybody. So thank you again, Cheryl. And what I'm going to move into right now is a Q&A. And Cheryl, just stick around, because maybe you'll have some specific questions too. So listeners on the call, here's how this is going to work. Is I'm going to switch over. You're going to hear a prompt that say we are now in Q&A. mode, and if you want to ask a question, do *6, and that will put you in the queue. And then when I see you by your number, I won't know your name, I'll see your number, and I will engage you, and it will say you can ask your question now, and then you will become unmuted. You'll be able to talk and ask your question. We'll try that, okay? So again, instructions would be *6. To get put into the queue, and then you'll get another prompt when I select you that says you are now live. Okay, so we're going to switch over to this. All right, so if you have a question, please just go ahead and hit *6. So question for Kevin, question for Cheryl, question for Katie from a clinical standpoint. Go ahead, *6. Okay, so we have the first one here. All right, if you can hear me, your number is... Yep, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Yes. We've received information from our insurance carriers that they will not accept DSM-5 and ICD codes until October 1st. So we actually have not been using those codes. When I did your first exercise and looked at progress notes, indeed, we do have DSM-5, but we don't have ICD-10. So I guess I will be sending a ticket to have the ICD-9 change to ICD-10, correct?
Yes. If you need some additional fields to your forms, which it sounds like that's the question, is Kevin and Katie, are you hearing the same question?
Well, actually, it's two questions. I'm sorry. I misbehaved. Right. The first question has to do with the use of DSM-5 because we haven't been using DSM-5 because our insurance carriers will not accept that as billing. However,
yeah.
I guess we could use it in the clinical charting, but we don't use it in the billing. So we haven't been using DSM-5 in billing. And then you answered the second question about sending a ticket in to have the ICD-9 field change to the ICD-10 field. Correct?
Yes. Yep. Go ahead and
okay.
do that, please. Yep. Okay. Thank you for your question.
Okay.
All right. I have somebody from River Counseling.
Yeah, my name is Allison. I'm curious to know, in the diagnosis tab under the client module, if I click on the little box that says ICD-10 and unclick the ICD-9 box, can we go ahead and start adding our ICD-10 codes now, keeping the ICD-9s in there, because I understand that's what's being billed out. And then if we enter them in there, there's a status bar, should we list them as inactive for right now and then before October 1st or on October 1st switch them over to active? How can we be ready so that we're not doing everybody on October 1st? And then the second question is, the lady that spoke mentioned something about a green book. We've all been trained here by Lysette on the webinar that was put out by you guys, and I don't recall her ever mentioning a green book, so if you could clarify that. Thank you.
Okay. So first question, I think that would be good for Kevin. Kevin is not here.
Pat, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yep.
Okay, sorry. He might be muted too. I was trying to talk to the last question as well. So I just want to clarify that in our system, ICD-9 and ICD-10 billing codes in the client module diagnosis tab can coexist. You're not going to need to go through and inactivate them all as of a certain date and activate all the ICD-10 at a certain date. They can coexist together. And what will happen is on October 1st, Percentive has code in the system that when you go to add a service date or a service line in the time module with the date of service of October 1st, your choice for diagnoses to select for that client for that service will default to ICD-10 codes. If you have to go back after October 1st and enter services from prior in September or August or prior to that date, you can always choose to flip that. It's a drop-down choice next to diagnosis where you can choose to go back to ICD-9. And that way, if you kept them active, there's still options for you to select and save on that time service line. So I wouldn't inactivate all of your 9 codes as of, September 30th. I wouldn't try to massively add all your ICD-10 on October 1st. I would add ICD-10 now, and they'll coexist until that time. Also, just to clarify on the prior question, DSM-5 really is for documenting on your clinical documentation. It's never anything that you would bill, but when you come and you get audited as of October 1st in your clinical documentation, you're going to have to show support behind your DSM-5 diagnosis and your ICD-10 diagnosis in your documentation as well. So be sure that even now you're starting to add in your reasoning and why you picked your ICD-10 and DSM-5 codes, and then add those ICD-10 codes to the client module diagnosis tab so that as of October 1st, they're an option for your staff to choose in the time module.
All right. Thanks, Katie. And I just want to encourage anybody else, if you want to ask a question, please go ahead and hit *6, and you'll be put in the queue. So we only have one person live right now in the queue. The second part of the question, I'm going to ask Katie and Cheryl to contribute here, the green book, what we're calling the green book. Let's talk about that.
That is, we got it from Lisette's training, and it's if you just Google the ICD-10 classification of mental and behavioral disorders, it little subtitle is Clinical Descriptions and Diagnostic Guidelines. It's put out by World Health Organization. That was the book. That's kind of the middle step. So otherwise, there's no description in the blue book for diagnosing. So that's what we copied off and used to kind of make that transition. And then just want to add, too, that we're having staff go back after October 1st, after they have all their billable codes in, and then getting their documentation to kind of line up with the justification in there. If they've changed diagnoses, they have to do new DAs. So we're just having them do their paperwork after October 1st so they don't all pass out.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that. We have two more questions in here. I'm going to engage a caller. It says wireless caller. Sorry, I don't have a name, but the last number is 3632. So you can ask a question now.
Hi, Pat. This is Tom Belcher from Greater Minnesota.
Hi, Tom.
Mine was more of a comment than a question. It's just for us, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity to do spring cleaning in October. As we went through our client list, we found approximately 1,400 clients that we were able to convert to ICD-10. And then we were able to find just about 1,400 clients that people said, well, we don't need that anymore. So then the comment is, well, why are they still active then? So just use that as an opportunity not only to, you know, make sure we get paid, but also to clean house, because that's become something that's very apparent for us that we need to do.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks, Tom. You're always good for that kind of information. Thanks a lot. I've got more questions in here. Okay, our next question is up. You should have heard a prompt. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, this is Toni Collins from 180 Degrees, and maybe this question is redundant. We have been talking about what to do with ongoing clients after October 1st, clients that we're seeing now that we expect to see after that date, and what to do about their diagnosis in terms of a diagnostic update for all of them. And then a justification, is that what we're supposed to be doing? Hello?
Yeah, sorry about that. I was just thinking about who I could ask to respond to this question. Katie, what do you think?
Yeah, for your ongoing customers or clients, you're going to want to document your ICD-10 codes, and you're going to want to keep it in your DA. And as of October 1st, you know, everything switched over then to DSM-5 and ICD-10, and that's what you need to keep consistent in your documentation, whether you're doing a DA, treatment plan, progress note, anywhere that you're currently documenting your diagnoses, you need to have those fields available. If you don't have those fields available in your documentation, please submit a ticket, and the forms team can help you get those fields available.
Yeah, I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
Excuse me. Yeah, the way diagnosis is done in our clinical charting is going to change. So one simple way, and I just want to be clear about this, one simple way is to begin to do the new method of diagnosis. And I'm not sure if we're set up, if our clinical charting is set up. I think it is. We can do some modification. So what you're saying to me is that at any place where we're able to diagnose or place diagnostic information, is that we can change over. That is, if we do it in clinical charting, you know, well, you know, some of us have already started to do it with some of the new additions with specifiers and other factors and all that kind of stuff, that we don't necessarily have to go back to the diagnosis, the DA that was done maybe 3 months ago.
You would want to probably, it depends how drastically it changes. And Cheryl, you could probably speak to this better than I could. You always have to be able to show your auditors how you came to the conclusion you came to. If you feel you have sufficient documentation to support the diagnoses that you're billing and that's documented somewhere in that client's file, that's the important piece. And so if you need to do a diagnostic update or do an amended diagnostic assessment to make sure that you're properly documenting your reasoning and your conclusions behind the ICD-10 code you're billing, then that's what you should do, even if they just started three months ago.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I didn't hear what you said.
Yep.
Oh.
Good. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt. I got two more questions left, but if there's follow-up on this, again, I'm going to plug the user community. This perfect question to be asking other customers. We found that there are definitely different answers to this question based on how people have their documentation formatted. So I have two more left. It's 12:30. I'm hoping that we can squeeze these questions in really fast here. Go ahead. You're live. You can ask your question.
Hi, this is Jean Christensen at Great River Psychological Services. Hello.
Hi, Jean.
Hi. I wanted to ask if those of us who have Therascribe licenses will be able to continue using Therascribe as they fill slots for the treatment planning and that kind of thing. Is there a new iteration of Therascribe, number one, and does somebody have a great diagnostic consent assessment addendum they've developed 4% that we could use in situations where we need to drastically change the coding?
Okay, I can talk about the Therascribe one. Is the last time I talked to them, I know they were working on an DSM-5 edition. They had some of their planners had already been converted over, and we're supposed to have the most recent version. I've asked them a couple different times, but I'm also my take on it was that there was not that big of a difference between the versions. So I will follow up to the community on this, and I think it's safe to continue to use Therascribe. There wouldn't be any reason to not use it. So, and then the other question you had about a DA update, that again is another good question to have out on the user update thing. I think, Gene, if you wanted to get that question addressed right away, you can file a ticket, and I think there might be some samples out there that other customers have been willing to share. So I would recommend that. Thanks a lot for your question. I got one last question. This would be it. Go ahead. You're live.
Let's see. So this is Allison from River Counseling again. We are ready to add our ICD-10 codes, and I need to know where to do that. So I did get the answer that I don't have to activate or inactivate them. I can just add the ICD-10 codes to the client module under the diagnostic tab. But I'm also noticing that if you're in the client module, there's a column that says converted to ICD-10, and then it says no with an X. If you click on that, it brings up a box where you can do conversion. Is that our job as the clinicians to do that, or do we just add the diagnoses to the diagnostic tab in the client module, and then you guys do the conversion?
That's a great question. I would just say, Allison, that conversion was that box that popped up was a tool to help people convert. Some people are using it, some people aren't. If you use that box, the diagnoses that you convert will appear in the client module diagnosis tab. But you can just forego that if you'd like and just go straight to the diagnosis tab. I know it's a little simpler sometimes from clinical charting aspect because you can click on the diagnosis link and it brings you right there. So you can just add them to the client module diagnosis tab, or you can use the conversion tool to help you do that if you'd like. So they're both good options.
Okay. And then if you can hear me, if you could just repeat the what you said to Google about the Green Book. You spoke kind of fast, and I just didn't get what to Google on the Green Book.
Cheryl,
yeah.
Are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here. It's the ICD-10 classification of mental and behavioral disorders. And then the subtext in there is the clinical descriptions and diagnostic guidelines.
Perfect.
Okay.
Kat, can I just add one quick thing to that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that it's always important to look. The Green Book and the Blue Book really are the international versions of ICD-10, and the United States has their subversion. So always double check that the code you find on the Green Book or Green Book, Blue Book is found in Procentive as a billable code. So.
Yep. Good point. Okay. Well, it's 12:34. We're 4 minutes past our time. I appreciate everybody attending. This is recorded. I'll be sending it out. I'll get it to you one way or another. You can have other people listen to it. So there's really nothing new in this conference call that isn't already in our training module, webinars, and stuff like that. So thank you, everybody. Have a good day. The call is done. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks.